Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Some of us have been reading it for a long time and it continues to surprise and amaze us. We thank you, Father, that even when we look at a story that maybe we've read lots of times before, the Holy Spirit can just bring something new and fresh out of it that will help us in living in 2013. And so we want to pray for Mark this morning that as he brings God's word to us, that you would bless the preparation he's made and anoint him for the delivery he's about to give. Amen.
It's great to be able to share God's word with you this morning, and thank you very much for the warm welcome and the induction, and for those wonderful promises that you made. We're going to look at Matthew 9:27 this morning. We're going to go straight into the Bible reading. So if you turn to Matthew 9:27, if you have Bibles, otherwise the words are on the screen. And I want you to think, as we read these words, I want you to think of ways in which these blind men, in the first half of the reading, demonstrate their faith. So see if you can think of some ways and just keep them in your mind. As Jesus went out from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Then Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It's by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." This morning we're continuing on our journey through Matthew's gospel. And I think it's fair to say these last couple of chapters that we've looked at, chapters 8 and 9, have been a bit of a roller coaster ride, really, with many people getting on board as Jesus travelled around healing the sick, proclaiming the good news, delivering people from demons, and just doing incredible things. And as we've seen and heard, this incredible ministry of Jesus, the way that Jesus served others, and the way that Jesus healed the sick and did all those things that he says in Luke chapter 4, is the same ministry that the church has today. God wants us to do this here. He wants to do these things we've just read about through us. We mustn't miss the context of these two miracles. They've come just before Jesus sends his disciples out at the beginning of Matthew 10 to do the same thing. In Matthew 10, verse 1, it says that Jesus gave his disciples authority to drive out impure spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. So before Jesus sends his disciples out on this mission, he once again demonstrates his authority and shows them that that's the authority that they are going to have as they follow him, as they go out. And he shows it when he has mercy on the blind men and restores their sight. And when he has mercy on the demon-possessed man and delivers him. And this builds up the faith of his disciples. And I think we, as a church, also need our faith building up in order to play our part in God's mission on earth today. Faith is the most precious gift that God gives us. In this passage, we see some of the characteristics of the kind of faith that we need. And we see these characteristics, I think, in the blind men. Faith is all important in our lives as Christians. We're nothing without it. We can only have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus. Our sins can only be forgiven through repentance and faith. And we can only have eternal life through faith in Christ. So everything hinges on faith. But have you ever noticed how faith doesn't really seem to be respected very much in society today? And while it's easy for a lot of us in church to say, well, society has changed a lot, and that may be true. I think a fair bit of that responsibility really lies with the church and the way that we portray our faith. There's times when our faith, in fact, most of the time, our faith doesn't reflect the power of our God. We say God is all powerful, and yet do our lives really show that we believe it? I'm going to ask a little question now, just a bit different. How many people here had a teddy bear when they were younger? Anyone here have a teddy bear when they were younger? There are quite a lot of us. How many of you still have a teddy bear? Wow. You're all very sad. I'm very brave for admitting it. That's great. Anyway, this is my teddy bear. Okay, I got to say, this is my teddy bear here, and you might have seen a poster up about him. Fortunately, I found him just before the service, which is great, and I want to use him as an illustration of what faith shouldn't be like. For which I've coined this new highly technical theological term, teddy bear faith. Okay, we're going to talk about teddy bear faith for a minute. I'm fairly certain that this is the kind of faith that many people in the world see and unsurprisingly dismiss. Faith that looks like this fluffy thing that we cuddle because it makes us feel all warm and fuzzy and that we carry around and hold on to for comfort and bury our face in when we get scared and send our mums all around the house to find because we can't get to sleep without it. Maybe not that last bit, but do you get the picture? teddy bear faith, I think is what the world sees. And some other kids have security blankets. I don't know if anyone ever found security blankets really puzzling. I could never understand what security blankets were all about. This kind of dirty, smelly rag that gets dragged through all kinds of things and which can never be washed under any circumstances for reasons that no one really understands. And these things apparently make a child feel safe. And what on earth is a blanket going to do if a kidnapper or vicious dog comes along? It's useless. What's the point? And this reaction I had to security blankets, I think, is the same one that many people in the world have today when they look at faith. What's the point? What's that going to do? Anyway, when I share my faith, occasionally I've actually done it in such a half-hearted way that I may as well have just said, I have a teddy bear called faith. I'd have had that same response that maybe some of you have had when you share your faith, which is, oh, how lovely, or that's nice. And you feel like saying, no, it's not nice. Well, it is nice, but nice is such a weak, namby-pamby word that's inadequate to describe faith. Faith is immense. It's awesome. It's life-changing. It's life-giving. Some people think that faith is just a crutch to help weak people get through life or a placebo pill to numb the pain for people who are hurting. But the church needs to demonstrate true faith. We need to grow up. We need to ditch the teddy bear. Sorry, we do. I don't mean your actual teddy bears. You can keep your actual teddy bears, but in the illustration. There's nothing fluffy or cute about true faith in Jesus. And I want to read a couple of verses from Hebrews 11, which is a chapter which tells us all about faith. And in verse 32 it says, "And what more shall I say? I don't have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies." A teddy bear is not going to shut up the mouth of a lion or rout a foreign army. It would get ripped apart. But with real faith, anything is possible because true faith trusts in the power of God. The beginning of Hebrews 11, that same chapter, verse 1 says, "To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for to be certain of the things we cannot see. It was by their faith that the people of ancient times won God's approval. And this is still the case today. We gain God's eternal approval through faith. True faith, as described in Hebrews 11, verse 1, is the exact faith that we see demonstrated by the blind men in Matthew chapter 9. Some might be surprised to hear faith described as certainty and a sure hope. But this is real faith. It's not weak and vague, but it's strong, it's mighty. It's a gift from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So before I pick out three ways in which the blind men demonstrate true faith, I want you to quickly turn to the people around about you, especially people who you don't know. And in a couple of minutes, I want you to discuss ways in which you think the blind men demonstrate their faith. The verses will be up on the screen. If you suddenly feel really uncomfortable about this, then don't worry. Just tag on to a conversation and nod and look vaguely interested, okay? But we're going to have 2 minutes starting now. So just turn around to the people around you and just discuss that idea. Okay then. All right. How do we get on? I hope that was useful. It meant I had the chance to get a drink, which was great. I'm sure you've had lots of ways. I'm sure you could talk about it all morning, probably. 2 minutes never seems like long enough. And there are way more ways than the three things I'm going to pick out in which the blind men demonstrated faith. But I'm just going to pick out three specific ones. So you get extra bonus points if you get something that I haven't said. And you can let me know about it afterwards. That'd be great. So the first one, which you may or may not have noticed, it's probably one of the more subtle ones that we're going to look at, is perseverance. Hands up anybody who got perseverance. Did anybody get perseverance? Yeah? You got a few people? Yeah. So you guys get special marks for that. That's brilliant. So the blind men started following Jesus at some point between the official's house that we heard about just before this passage. The official who we know as Jairus from Mark and Luke's gospel, who Dennis was speaking about the other week. And they started following him at some point between Jairus' house and the house where presumably Jesus was staying. And the blind men called after him as they followed him, "Have mercy on us, son of David." But it doesn't appear that Jesus responded at all to them whilst he was en route, from what we read. We don't know how far it was either between these two places. I mean, it could have been, you know, it could have been some way. It could have just been just down the road. But imagine if you were, say, Dennis was walking down the high street and you were following him and you were shouting out to Dennis, "Hey, Dennis, Dennis," and you're shouting out really loud and he evidently could hear you. And he just wasn't responding. Would you continue following him, shouting, or would you just think, "Oh, you know, stuff him. I'm going to, you know, go somewhere else," or something? I don't know. I mean, you get an idea that these blind men had real persistence to keep on calling out after Jesus. And it wasn't until they got into the house and they came to him that Jesus actually responded to them. Why did he ignore them for so long? Well, he was testing their faith. And he did this not only because he knew that they had faith. He knew they were going to keep following him. But James chapter 1, verses 2 to 3 tells us, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work in you, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." The blind men clearly had faith, and Jesus wanted them to follow him and to be persistent and to show and demonstrate that faith so their faith would become even stronger. Perseverance is a sign of strength, not a sign of weakness. Jesus tells us there'll be times when we need to be persistent, but if we don't quit, but instead persevere in prayer, God will answer. He has promised to answer. He is with us at the times when we feel like we're following him in the dark, just as the blind men literally were doing, following Jesus in the dark, but following him nonetheless. And why did they persevere? This brings us on to the second point. It's because they were expectant that Jesus would do something. So number two, they believed in the practical power of Jesus, that he was able. Many of us rely on the fact a lot of the time that we think we're able to do and sort everything until times of difficulty when we realize that we're not, and then we're stuffed. And it isn't until these times of difficulty sometimes that we really do turn and call out to Jesus. Those who instead know that Jesus is able rely on him and know that he can deliver or save them in any situation. He can do anything as he is God. And this includes miraculous physical healing. How many of us would say, I believe Jesus has the power to heal, but then wouldn't come up for prayer when we're sick? The blind men believed God was able to act now in their lives, in that place, not in the synagogue, not at a healing service or at a Christian conference with an internationally renowned speaker, but there and then Jesus was able to act in their lives. And this wasn't a small situation. It wasn't a headache or a twisted ankle. Those things are definitely worth praying about still. But this was a naturally irreversible condition. They'd been blind since birth. What incredible faith they had in Jesus' power to heal. So true faith isn't just believing that in theory God has the power to do something, or believing that he'll do it in some other place, at some other time, in someone else's life, because that doesn't take faith at all. But faith is believing that God can do something now, in your life, here, and then taking the courage to ask him, knowing that that might require perseverance, as we've already seen, but that God has the power to act now, and we should expect him to act now. If you've come this morning maybe with a physical condition which is really wearing you down, you might have prayed about it many, many times with others on your own. I encourage you to come up this morning for prayer, to keep persisting and believe God will intervene, just as the blind men did, because true faith trusts in the power of God. And number three, professing our faith, declaring, yes, Lord, stating our confidence in him. Jesus already knew that these men had faith. They'd already proven it, in the fact they'd followed him. But he wanted them to declare that out loud. Jesus says straight at them, do you believe I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. There's a real confidence in this reply. I mentioned these guys have been blind since birth. Real confidence. For many, the fact that Jesus had asked the question might have put them off. I mean, it might have caused them to doubt. Imagine if you just got on board a plane, you'd sat in your seat, and then the pilot just comes out of the cabin and says, do you believe I'm able to fly this plane? How would that make you feel? Would that make you feel confident? I'm not sure it would make me feel confident. But it didn't put them off. They said, yes, Lord, we believe you are able to heal us. And they had endured, no doubt, many sneers from onlookers as they'd gone along crying after Jesus for mercy. But that didn't bother them. They went on calling after him, following him, showing that they had faith and declaring it. Faith cannot stay silent. It must be professed. If no one had told the blind men about Jesus and explained what was happening, what was going on, they wouldn't have known about it because they couldn't see and they wouldn't have been able to follow him. But true faith trusts in the power of God, and we show that trust to others by sharing that source of our strength, of our confidence, of our hope, our faith in Jesus Christ. This faith isn't fluffy, it's powerful. It doesn't shy away. It is proclaimed from the rooftops, and it's all through the power of the Holy Spirit. The blind men were told by Jesus as well not to tell anyone. And there's several reasons why people think that Jesus said this. Some say he wanted to delay unnecessary hostility to him at this point, or others say he didn't want to be mobbed by yet more crowds. But in any case, despite Jesus' instruction, they spread the news across the entire region. And faith cannot stay silent. It bears witness to what it knows to be true, to what it has seen, to what it's experienced. And whilst this blind man's disobedience isn't to be praised, I feel convicted as I read this, that these men of faith spread the good news far and wide, even when they were told not to. And yet, we've been given that responsibility to proclaim the good news, to proclaim the gospel to all nations, to make disciples of all nations. And yet, so often, I and probably some of you shy away from opportunities, and our faith becomes as muted as the teddy bear that we saw earlier. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ, the word about Christ being the gospel. Faith comes through hearing, so we must share our faith with others. And these blind men's actions, as we have seen, showed they had great faith. Many people say, if only Jesus would show us a miracle, then we would believe. However, as we saw, actually, at the end of the passage we read at the beginning, the Pharisees saw many miracles. They saw the demon-possessed man being delivered, and yet they didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. Faith is being certain of what you don't see. These blind men couldn't see at all. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. The blind men were sure that Jesus was able to heal them. They literally walked by faith and not by sight, as we are all called to do. And Jesus still calls people every day to put their trust in him. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, we have no part with God. We cannot have his approval, because not one of us meets God's standards. None of us are without sin. The blind men called for mercy because they knew they were undeserving sinners. So why is it that we should gain his approval through faith? Because Jesus died on the cross to take the punishment for our sins. And he rose from the dead so that we can have eternal life in heaven. This is God's one and only way that he made so that we can be saved from eternal punishment for sin and become his children. He made this way through an unthinkable sacrifice because he loves us and wants a relationship with each one of us now. It's all about faith in Jesus. Nothing else is good enough. God approves of us because of our faith. And that is why we should want to be known as men and women of faith. Faith in Jesus should define who we are, but we should throw away any teddy bears and demonstrate and profess a complete trust in our God, who is able and mighty in power, who has delivered us from death and has given us new life in him. I just want us to just be silent for a moment as we respond. I just want us to think about maybe situations in our life that we really want God to move in. It could be physical condition, it could be emotional hurt and pain, it could be a situation at work, it could be a situation of family, it could be anything. A situation that we want God to move in. And then I want us to think of the question, do we believe that God is able? Actually, I want us to declare that aloud. If we believe that he is able, I'm going to ask the question. And if you believe, then I want you to say yes, hallelujah, for that situation. I want you to, you can shout as loud as you want. It doesn't matter, but I want us to just declare that aloud. So do you think that God is able? Yes. Hallelujah. I want the band to come up if they can, or they're already up. That's great. And if we just all stand for a minute, and with those things in mind, if everyone stands, come up for prayer this morning, expectantly. If you feel prompted to pray for others, now is the time. If you think you have a word this morning, you might have felt the Holy Spirit really gave you a word, maybe during the opening worship time, maybe during the sermon, and that he wants you to share it. So if you're feeling that burning desire to come and share it, then just come up to us and then share that with the church. And if we could, we've got plenty of people up here to pray for you if you want prayer this morning for any situations. So come up and show that faith that Jesus is able.